news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Let's begin today with some good news. Daily U.S. COVID-19 cases and death totals are now about one-fifth of what they were during their winter peaks. Many experts attribute some of the slowdown to climbing vaccine numbers. Nearly 83% of Americans 65 and older have received at least one COVID-19 vaccine dose, and nearly 70% are fully vaccinated. Now the push is on to get younger people vaccinated too. So the FDA is ready to authorize the Pfizer vaccine for children ages 12 to 15 by early next week. Now for the bad news. The United States will likely never reach herd immunity. Experts once thought the U.S. would be able to reach the threshold for herd immunity when 60 to 70% of the population had immunity to the virus. But now they estimate that reaching 80% or more might be required, this due to the more transmissible B.1.1.7 variant. But that level is probably out of reach, partly due to vaccine hesitancy. But we know that vaccines can help turn the virus into a milder threat that could be more like the seasonal flu. Watch for the Biden administration to pivot to younger people to get those hesitant to the vaccine to get inoculated. Meanwhile, the rest of the world is having mixed results. In Brazil, COVID-19 has caused one out of every three deaths this year, and less than 10% of the Brazilian population has been vaccinated so far, and the situation in India is beyond dire. President Biden will raise the refugee cap to 62,500 people this fiscal year after pretty intense backlash following his earlier decision to maintain the Trump-era cap of 15,000. The elevated limit gets the administration back on track to its February promise of admitting more refugees. Biden temporarily went back on his initial goal when a surge of migrants at the southern border moved him to reevaluate the policies. Nearly 6,000 undocumented immigrants were apprehended at the border daily in April. Preliminary government data shows that means the continued influx is still higher than normal, but it appears to have plateaued. The Biden administration says it's still focusing on moving families and children out of U.S. Border Patrol custody as fast as possible to alleviate overcrowding and long stays. And there is some progress being made. Four families that were separated at the Mexican border during Trump's presidency will be reunited this week as just the beginning of a broader effort. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said more than 5,500 children were separated from their parents during the Trump administration going back to July of 2017. Reportedly, some 1,000 families are still apart, thanks to the policies of the previous administration. Remember the name Richard Cordray? No, not from The Daily Show. Richard Cordray, the former Ohio Attorney General and head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau? Well, President Biden has tapped him to head the office charged with overseeing the federal government's student loan portfolio of more than $1 trillion. Cordray will be a high-profile leader for an obscure but important agency that could play a central role in the debate over canceling student loan debt. Andrew Brown Jr. was laid to rest Monday in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, where he was shot and killed by police serving search and arrest warrants 2 weeks ago. Last week, a judge ruled against releasing all of the body cam videos showing the shooting and the events leading up to it. Tensions are flaring over the lack of transparency. An independent autopsy done for the family found that Brown was shot five times, including once in the back of the head. He was unarmed. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said Monday that he was issuing an executive order barring local governments in the state from imposing any COVID-19 emergency mandates beginning July 1st. DeSantis said that with the vaccine supply now outstripping demand, there was no need to continue the restrictions. DeSantis announced the executive order as he signed a bill passed by the state's Republican-controlled legislature barring private businesses and other entities from requiring vaccine passports. DeSantis said the moves were, quote, the evidence-based thing to do, adding that they would help people, quote, enjoy themselves and, quote, live freely in the state of Florida. Well, not so fast, buddy. As with just about everything this governor does, he seems to have acted before thinking it through. The Orlando Sentinel reported yesterday, quote, over 10,000 cases of COVID-19 variants of concern have been reported in Florida, more than double the total just 2 weeks earlier, and an indication that the spread is accelerating. Through May 1st, nearly 500 of those cases have been reported in Orange County, nearly 200 in Osceola, 188 in Seminole, and 130 in Lake. By far, the most common variant was the B117, the strain first detected in the UK. It was reported in 9,050 cases statewide. It's estimated to be 60% more infectious than the original dominant strain of COVID-19. It's also believed to result in more severe illness and higher hospitalization rates. The most recent estimate is that it's 67% more deadly. And Ron DeSantis is doing away with all emergency orders to protect Floridians from COVID infection? Lovely. Now you know why I call it Florida. And why I refer to Governor DeSantis as Governor Death Sentence. Bill and Melinda Gates announced Monday that after 27 years of marriage, they're getting a divorce. Bill Gates, of course, co-founded Microsoft and long served as the software giant's CEO. He owns about 1.4% of the company's shares. That stake is worth more than $26 billion. The couple released a statement saying that they will continue to work together at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, that they share a belief in the mission, but no longer believe they can grow together as a couple. And finally, just when you thought the dossier was dead, we find out there's another one. In the UK, The Telegraph reported Monday night that M16 spy Christopher Steele produced a second dossier on Donald Trump for the FBI. This one, while Trump was in the White House. Steele reportedly filed a series of intelligence reports to United States authorities during Trump's tenure, including information concerning alleged sexual exploits. The intelligence gathered in the second dossier reportedly includes further details of Paul Manafort's alleged Russian contacts. To be continued, I'm sure. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.